We're holding on Chofches Omud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom by the two dots. We said in the Mishnah that if a person dropped his jug full of, if a person's jug of water broke in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and somebody else slipped on the water or got injured by the broken pieces of earthenware, so the Tanakhama said he's chayev regardless. The Tanakhama being, as usual, a mayor, because Stam Mishnah and a mayor. We discussed yesterday the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, what the scenario is over here, that that Rav would say where he made them hefker, then yeah, it's considered burr, but otherwise it's considered his mamon, and therefore you'd have a difference of whether the where he himself kept on where he himself kept ownership of it, then we would not say that that he's chayev for somebody's clothes getting dirty over there, because of burr you're not chayev for kaven. And then we had we had Rav saying that that when he dropped it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and wasn't mafker it, Rav was saying he's chayev for both the nizakim of the person and of the he's chayev for the kalim, but he's potter for the person, because the person himself, Rav says, after all, banged himself on the ground, and that's karka olam, and Rav says he's potter for that. The water that he slipped on is only a groma. So the chayev according to Rav in that case would be only for the clothes if they got dirty. And then according to Shmuel, it would be the other way around. He's potter for the kalim because the burr, and he's chayev for the person, because Shmuel doesn't hold of this concept of karka olam hazikasu. He holds that it's because he tripped over the it's because he slipped on the water, and therefore you have to be mechayev the person who spilled the water. Now, then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'miskaven chayev chola, that Rabbi Yehuda says it depends whether he had kavana. Now, what kind of kavana are we talking about? So, heichi dami miskaven, what kind of kavana is enough, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to make him chayev? Omer Rabbi miskaven lahurid l'mata miksefei, means that doesn't mean that he intended to break it. It means that he intended to take the jug off his shoulder, and then by mistake, and then he tripped, and then he tripped, or he dropped it, or whatever, and then he tripped is the scenario that Rashi says, and therefore he dropped the jug and it broke. So that would be the case, because now we're going to talk about off and on throughout the perek the question of nitkal pesheahu or nitkal lav pesheahu. When a person trips, do we consider that pesheah? Do we consider that carelessness, as opposed to a real onus, and therefore we can be mechayev him, or do we consider it a real onus? Now, Tosfos has said several times, and they say here in this sugya as well, that a person is in fact potter for nizikin when it's a real, full-fledged onus. They talk about that in the previous parak, and they mention it over here also. Not all Rishonim agree with that, and in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it's not brought that way, and according to them, therefore, the point is that even a nitkal is considered the point is that even in the case of an onus, nevertheless, we're still being mechayev him for what happens as a result of that onus. Anyway, so the question is throughout the parak, we have the question nitkal pesheahu or nitkal lav pesheahu. Can we consider a person who tripped to be a pesheya, to be careless? He should have watched where he was going to the extent that he won't cause a hezek to somebody else. As we've learned before, Tosfos says that a person has more of a responsibility to make sure that he doesn't cause a hezek than to make sure that he himself is not the nizek. So if we say nitkal pesheahu, then you have a reason to say that he was careless, and therefore you should be mechayev him. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that because nitkal pesheahu, he should have paid attention where he's going, and therefore you can be mechayev him. The fact that now he tripped and therefore caused a barrier in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, caused an obstacle in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim by the water that he spilled and the broken pieces of earthenware, we can hold him responsible for that. But if the jug fell ba'onus, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that he's potter. If it fell off his shoulder on its own. Omalei Abaya says, Biklal d'mechayev Rameyer afilu nifshira. Do you mean to say that Rameyer would be mechayev him regardless, even if the jug melted? In other words, even if you have an absolute onus that never could have been foreseen, like all of a sudden just the jug melts away and therefore all you have, and then you have all the water spills on the ground, would Rameyer then say that he's chayev even in that case? And the answer is MLA. So Rabbi says, yes, ain't, yes, b'chayiv hoyer a mayor, afilo ozna b'yodoy. In fact, Reb Meir would be mechayev him, even, yeah, literally, if the whole jug melted away, even though that's not something that you would even ever expect, b'derech hateva, and all he has left is the handle of the jug, nevertheless, you can be mechayev him. So the Gemara says, am I onusu? Isn't he in that case an onus? V'onus rachmona patre, and we have the general rule that the Torah paters a person in a case of onus. As you have the famous because you have the pasuk in connection with a girl who were in connection with a naira hamayrasa who was raped, where the Torah tells us that if it was out in the field and she was nobody available to help her, then you punish, you execute the guy who did it, but you don't do anything to her. V'lanara le'sasa dover, because it was a case of onus, only in the case where it was in the city and she could have cried out for help, etc., then that's different. The point is, we learn that onus rachmana patre. So in that case, why over here would be mechayevim according to the mayor? V'chitema hanimilu le'inuktola. So you're going to think to answer that maybe the difference is that's as far as killing a person. You don't kill, you know, like in that case, you don't execute the girl when there's a matter of onus. Avol inyan nizokin chayev. But when it comes to nizokin, maybe you would say that when it comes to nizokin, you would say that he's chayev, even bonus. But we learn in a braisa. Nishbara kadoi v'loi silkoi. If a person's jug broke and he didn't take away the broken pieces, or nafo gmaloi v'loi hamidoi, or his camel fell down and he didn't pick it back up, and now it fell down, let's say, and it died, and now the carcass of it is lying there in Rosh Hashanah, and it's a birth. And people or things can trip over. People or animals can trip over it. Reb Meir mechayev behezdekin v'chum potrin. Reb Meir says he's chayev in the hezek, and the chum say he's potter. So you see that even in a case of nizokin, Reb Meir is pattering him because it's an onus. Nishbara, it broke on its own. Not that he tripped necessarily. So in fact, Tosfos points out, I mean, so you have in the Mishnah as well, what you have is that when the Mishnah says somebody slipped on the water, so it's kind of an indirect thing, and yet the mayor is being mechayev him in the Mishnah. Here, the mayor mechayev bezek, and so the mayor is saying he's chayev. So fine, the mayor would say that he's chayev regardless. Now the Chum say he's potter from Dine Odom. You can't take him to Beis Din for it. He is Chayev B'dine Shemayim, meaning that if he wants to be Yotze, if he wants to be Yotze from Hashem's punishment, then he should be paying and compensating the other person. And the Braisa continues. And the Chachamim do agree with the mayor when you have, you put a stone or a knife or a load on top of the roof, and they fell down in a normal wind and they caused damage. They would agree that he's chayev, because in that case, then that's pshia, because if it could fall down from the edge of the roof in a normal wind, then he shouldn't do that.
In case we get with the gumball on the floor, so yes, right away when it happens, he can.
We're going to talk about soon whether when he has a we'll talk about time. We'll get to that soon. Yeah. On the other hand, Reb Meir agrees with the Chachamim when you have a case where a person takes barrels up to, which were made out of earthenware, to his roof, intending to dry them. You make them when you bring them out. They're not so strong. They're still a little soft after they come out of the oven. So you take them up there to dry out in the sun for a while. And they fell down in an unusual wind. That then he's potter, because then it's a ruach she'ena metzuya. So therefore he's an onus. So we see that a mayor is pottering him when it comes to nizokin, even when it's an onus. Now, this is what Tosfos was saying before, that in the Mishnah, we're talking about he didn't directly cause the hezek, and yet Reb Meir is being mechayev him in the Mishnah for whatever happened because somebody slipped in the water. Whereas here we're saying that Reb Meir is, in other words, we're talking about that he dropped this keli, and even though, as we just said, Rabba was just saying you can have a case even where the keli melted away and you have no, and therefore the water fell out, the water spilled out on its own, and still Reb Meir him is being mechayev him. Whereas over here, in the case of these kankanim, Reb Meir is pottering him. So why is that? Why it is, by the way, why are the Chachamim talking about Avnei Sakinim Asoi and Reb Meir is talking about and Rameya is talking about Kankanim. So the idea is because a person, each one of them is talking about a normal situation. The Chachamim are dealing with a case. A person puts Avnei Sakini or Masai on top of his roof. He doesn't mind so much if they fall down. Therefore, he should have thought, well, he doesn't care. So they'll fall down. Big deal. It's no concern of mine. The Avnei is not necessarily going to smash. The Sakini is not necessarily going to smash. The Masai depends, I guess, what the Masa is. The point is, in other words, that Sakini means a knife.
Oh,
yeah. So those kinds of things, he doesn't mind so much if it falls in a Ruach Mitzuya. So therefore, we can say he was careless to put them there in the first place. As opposed to the Kankanim, he specifically puts them in a place where they're not going to fall down in a Ruach Mitzuya, although because otherwise that defeats the whole purpose. He wants to bring them up there to dry out so he can use them. Yeah. So therefore, it's more normal that he's going to put them further back from the edge of the roof, and only in the case of a Ruach She'ena Mitzuya is it going to knock them down. So that's why each of them uses that scenario. Anyway, the point is, So what do we learn from this braisa? So the Chachamim, and usually when we have Chachamim disagreeing with Reb Meir, it usually means Reb Yehuda. So it should have to fit with Reb Yehuda's opinion in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Reb Yehuda said that only if Miskaven, and we said he intended to take the jug off his shoulder, and then he tripped and broke it, then we would be Mechayev him. But the Chachamim are saying anytime he puts something down with Pshia, then he's Chayev. So that would include the case where he put things on the edge of his roof and he was careless because he should have thought they're going to fall down Beruach Mitzuya. On the other hand, when it comes to a real onus, Nishbara Kade or Nofo Gmalai, then the Chachamim are pattering him because they say he's part of B'dini Adam, B'chayev B'dini Shemayim. Meanwhile, Reb Meir is saying that when it's a true onus, then he agrees that you're potter only when you tripped or when your jug broke or whatever. So then we can talk about whether you're a poshea. So yeah, you're talking about as far as removing the takala. Obviously, we have to give him a couple of minutes to clean up the earthenware or to remove the gummel. We're not talking about that. We're talking about if afterwards he doesn't do it. So that's what the Gemara is going to say now. So the point is, in other words, you can't just say that the machloikas from Meir and the Chachamim in our Mishnah is only about one case where it broke Ba'onis, because if it was Ba'onis, we just said in this Braisa that the Meir says he's Potter. And again, that's the thing. The Gemara itself is going to point out that you have over here two machloikasin before, when it first fell, and afterwards. We're going to deal with two different machloikasin, but Tosfos does point out that also the implication is that so far it sounds like Reb Meir is saying that he's machayev him no matter what, even if he didn't have time to remove it. The moment he drops the jug and the jug breaks and the water spills, it sounds like Reb Meir is machayev immediately, and the same thing with the camel and everything else, even if he didn't have time to schlep it away yet. Elo, I'm going to buy a betauti pligi. So Abaye says you should know Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda are actually arguing on two different cases. Pligi b'shas nefilo, pligi la'acha nefilo. The first machloikas is about what happens the moment that the thing falls. In other words, if it caused damage as it's falling. So you could have, for example, that the jug fell on somebody or on something and hurt him. And then you have also, that would also include, now Tosfos discusses over here some details of the sugya at some length over here in the first Tosfos over here, pligi. And one thing they point out is now that based on what Abaye is saying, it comes out that it would be, even when we say b'shas nefila, we do also include the amount of time that it takes him to clean it up. Any time that he didn't have the chance of, not so different than what we said before, now we're saying that no, as long as he didn't have the chance to clean it up, it's still called shas nefila. Anyway, so that's the first one. Opligi la'acha nefila, they're also arguing what happens later on after it fell, meaning after he had the time to clean it up and he hasn't done that. Pligi b'shas nefila b'nitkal pesheya. The machlokas about when it first falls is whether he's a pesheya by tripping in the first place. Should he have paid attention to where he's walking, and then he wouldn't have tripped in the first place? Now, we did learn yesterday, we had the opinion that ain't dark and shamanay adam lays bone, but nevertheless, the fact is since he wasn't misbonin bedrachim and he fell and tripped and broke his jug, then can we be machayev him on the grounds that it wasn't a complete oinus? In other words, when we said before, for example, Rav Meir would patter him when he put the jugs to dry on his roof and they fell off beruach sheina matsuya, that's a full fledged oinus, and Rav Meir would patter him for that. But nitkal, Rav Meir would say, is not really a full fledged oinus.
The guy wanted to fall. Take a chance for breaking.
Like, he didn't want to fall. And Peshea doesn't necessarily mean that he did it deliberately. It just means that he wasn't careful enough. It just means that he wasn't careful enough. In fact,
asking if he was careful, we just
thought. We're assuming. We're assuming that a nitkal means that there was a certain degree of pshia over here. He could have been more careful. In fact, the Rashba says this explicitly. When we say nitkal Peshea, he just means it's not to the extent of an onus. Now the Nemuka Yosef disagrees with that and says, and so the nafkamina between them would be by a shem chinam. We know a shem chinam is chayev for something only for pshia. If he tripped and dropped it, would and it broke, would that be enough to be mechayev him? There you need full fledged pshia for him to be chayev. So you'd have the machlokas of the Rashba and the Nemuka Yosef whether he's chayev in that case. Anyway, but for our purpose over here, so the mayor holds nitkal pesheyahu, the very fact that he tripped is a pshia, and therefore we have a grounds to be machai of him, therefore, for what happened at the time when if the jug banged into something and broke it or into someone or injured him or whatever. Omar Sava Nitkal Lav Peshea, who Rabbi Yehuda meanwhile holds, and Nitkal is not Peshea, because, like we said before, people don't always look where they're going. So therefore, even if it fell, so even Bashas Nefila, it fell, then Rabbi Yehuda is still going to, then Rabbi Yehuda is still going to patter him.
Rav Meir will say he's
chayev because nitkal peshea. Rav Yehuda will say he's potter because nitkal lav peshea. And pligi la'acha nefila. Furthermore, also they're arguing when afterwards, but mafkir nezakav, the machloikas would be when he was mafkir the nezek, meaning in other words, he decided, you know what, I'm not going to bother picking up. I'm not going to bother picking up these broken pieces. I'm just going to leave them here in Rosh Hashanah. Mar sava mafkin nechos of chayev, or mar sava potter. So Rav Meir is going to hold that he's chayev for that, because after all, what is a burr? The definition of a burr is that you dug it in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and Rosh Hashanah Rabim doesn't belong to you, and you're chayev for it. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda holds that when is the case of burr that you're chayev is where hifkir reshusay v'loy hifkir burray. You were mafkir the reshus. You dug a bone, your own reshus, for example, and then you said, you know what, the people of Rosh Hashanah can use this area, but you weren't mafkir the burr, so you still retain ownership of the burr. This is we talked about this in the previous perek, and Rashi points out over here there's actually machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva on exactly that point. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are following suit on the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. What the scenario is, does he actually own the burr or does he not? So that would be the nafkamina would be over here. Does he, if we say he doesn't own the earthenware shards because he decided he's going to be mafkir them, can you be mechayev him for them or not? So given that, so in other words, so when Rabbi Yehuda would say, what does miskaven of our Mishnah mean then? Rashi points out, it would be different than what we said before. Before Rabbah was saying miskaven would just mean he intended to shift it from one position to another and then he dropped it. So in other words, there was an intention to move it, and therefore we can hold him responsible because he should have been more careful when he's moving it that it doesn't break. Now, though, based on Abaya's answer, we're saying that no. Rabbi Yehuda means that miskaven of Rabbi Yehuda means he actually intended to break it. Then Rabbi Yehuda would say that he's chayev when it breaks as it falls. When it damages as it falls, and then he would be mechayev him afterwards, and then he would be mechayev him afterwards as well. But ein meskaven, if he only tripped and broke it that way, then he would say potter because nitka lav koshea, and therefore for damages as it's falling because he tripped, then Rabbi Yehuda would patter him because he'd say nitka lav kosheahu. And as far as the shards, again, it depends whether he was mafkir them or not. Well, the point is, in other words, because in this case, the fact that it fell in the first place was not completely his fault. Rabbi Yehuda holds nitka lav kosheahu. If he had deliberately gone and put broken pieces of earthenware in the street, sure, you can be mechayev him for that because he had no right to put them there in the first place. But here we're going to talk about here we're talking about where to begin with, it wasn't he hadn't done anything wrong according to Rabbi Yehuda, in that these things got there in the first place.
Yeah, but if you fall and you break something, clean it up.
He should clean it up, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you can't necessarily be mechayev him on the grounds of burr to say that he if he doesn't clean it up, you can be mechayev him for whatever happens. Not necessarily. So there'll be two machlokes in umimai, and where do we see that? How do we see what Abaye is saying that there are actually two machlokes in implied in the Mishnah? Mitkotani tauti, because the Mishnah, after all, had mentioned two scenarios. The Mishnah had said huchlak echad b'mayim, if somebody else slipped on the water, oishaloka b'charsis, or he got injured by the broken pieces of earthenware. Now you have to ask, why do we need two cases? Hainu hach, isn't it basically the same thing? Ela lav hachikamar. Evidently, the Mishnah means to say, if one person slipped on the water when it fell, so as the water was falling, somebody slipped on it, or as Tosfos says, Shas Nefila also includes where he didn't have a chance to clean it up yet. So the water was lying there on the ground. He didn't even have a chance to clean it up yet, and already somebody came by and slipped on it. Or where the other person got injured by the broken pieces after they had already fallen down. And he hadn't taken the time to clean him up yet. In fact, Tosfos says, you know, when you get down to it, a person is more usually going to be mafkir the cheres, the earthenware. He's not necessarily going to be mafkir the water, because it depends. If it's soft ground, sure, it sinks into the ground right away, but then nobody's going to slip on it. If it's a place where he can recollect the water, he might do that because, okay, he won't use the water for drinking, or use it for washing clothes, or use it for his animals or whatever, but he's not necessarily he put in a lot of effort into collecting this water. He's going to try to recollect it if at all possible. So it's true. Tosfos says the Gemara could have said it the other way around, that the water somebody slipped on afterwards in the charosim as they fell, but usually a person is more likely to be mafkir the cheres than the water.
Iron cheres could be used for a lot of little things.
Little pieces of cheres can also be used for a lot of things, but still, the person might say that he can't be bothered. Whatever the point is, that the point is, so the fact that the Mishnah mentions both of those things indicates that in fact you have two different two different cases where the mayor and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing. And the Gemara says, "Umi de masnisin b'tarti." Now, given that the Mishnah then was talking about two cases, Braisa nami b'tarti. Okay, then we have to say that the Braisa also must be talking about two cases. The Braisa that we brought at the bottom of the previous Amud, Nishbar Kade v'lay Sokai, where his jug broke and he didn't clean it up, or Nafla Gmale v'lay Hamido, his camel fell down and he didn't move it. Then we have to assume that also we're talking about two cases, one b'shas nefila and one after. Well, the question is, b'shlema kadoi mashkachas la'i b'shas nefila oi la'acha nefila, the jug, it's easy enough to find that you can have the machlokas whether somebody was injured by it as it's falling or afterwards, ela gmaloi. But when it comes to the camel, what is the scenario exactly? B'shlema la'acha nefila mashkachas la. After the camel fell, then it's easy enough to say, but mafkir nevelosa, you can have the case where he decided to be mafkir the dead, where he decided to be mafkir the dead animal. So in other words, he decided, you know what, my camel died in Rosh Hashanah, fine, you know what, I can't be bothered. I'm just going to leave it there. And then somebody else came and tripped over it. So Tosfos adds, given again that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it has to be to begin with that the fallen was b'pshia in order to be mechayev him in the first place, because otherwise he said nitkalav p'sheya, then we'd have to be talking about where to begin with there was a certain p'shia in taking the animal in a place where there was a concern that it's going to fall down. So in other words, it could be fall down. Yeah, it fell down and died. But in other words, the point is, it died from the fall, and with the fall itself is what killed it. So we'd have to be talking about, Tosfos says that he took it to a place where it's a bit of a dangerous road, and the camel might well trip and fall there, and he took it over there. So therefore, there's a pshia to begin with, and therefore we can be mechayev him afterwards for not removing the dead animal. What about when the animal is falling? How do you have? Whether nikal pesheya or nikal lav pesheya. On the face of it, though, if the animal trips, then you can't. You can say nikal pesheya in the sense that he should be looking where he's going. But how can you say that about his animal? So what do we mean that the Braisa is saying they're arguing in both cases where it says Meir Machayim and Chum say Potim in Din Anu Machayim in Din Shemayim? In order to say that they're arguing on both cases, you have to say like we said that we're talking about that either it damaged as it's falling or it damaged after it fell because somebody tripped over it. But with the Gummel, how do you have the first case? How do you have where it's damaging as it's falling, and you're going to be chayev if the animal trips and then causes injury? Then you can't. The fact that the animal tripped is an onus for you.
You know, as it's tripped, it's falling on someone.
It's even if it fell on someone. Yeah, it's an onus for you. Now, Tosfos actually wonders why does the Gemara have to assume that both cases work by both the jug and the gummel? Why don't we just say that the Nishbara Kada is talking about that it damaged while it's falling, and the Nafla Gemala is talking about afterwards, just like in the Mishnah. Abaya was saying that the water is talking about right away, and then the Cheres is talking about afterwards. And they said that it's one thing a person is more likely to make his broken pieces of Cheres hefker rather than the dead body of the animal. That actually, after all, has more use. You can use it for animal food or something. So therefore, he's less likely to be master that. Another point is the expression nafla kadeh v'loy silka. Tosfos points out can mean that v'loy silka, even afterwards when he had a chance to remove it, he didn't remove it, and then it caused damage. So then, at least in the case of the jug, you have to say that there are two possibilities, because by the jug itself, you have to be talking about also where it can injure when it's falling, because then you have the machlokas nitkal pesheya or lav pesheya. So at least by the jug, we have both of them. So therefore, we should assume that by the camel also, it means you have both possibilities. So that's the question. How do we have the possibility with the camel? That's what we have to figure out. Omer of Acha, Rav Acha says, the case is going to Ovra B'maya Derech Sarata Denara. The case would be where, to begin with, he took the camel in a place where the river is larger than normal. So you have, in other words, Sarata actually relates to the word Sarua V'kolut, which means an animal where you have various paired limbs in the body, like eyes and hands and feet and whatever. If you have an animal where one of those is bigger than the other, then it's considered a mum. The Torah calls it Sarua. So we see that the word the Shurish Sarah Sin Reish Ayin means bigger. So here we're talking about the river is bigger and flooding more than usual, and therefore it's covering the road. So the case is over here, he took his camel on that road anyway. Well, that was careless of him. There might be obstacles on the road, which had the road not been covered with water, then he and the camel would easily see them and detour around them. And like this, because it's covered with water, they didn't see it, and therefore he didn't see it, and therefore the animal was more likely to trip. So the mayor was going to say, that therefore there was pshia over here, and therefore you have the Gemara asks, well, what's the scenario exactly? Heichidami idi ikadarka achrena. Are we talking about there was another route available that he could have used? Pesheahu. Well, then he's a real pesheah. Then it's not even a question of nitkal pesheah. Then to begin with, even Rabbi Yehuda, on the face of it, would argue that that's pshia, that he got himself into such a situation in the first place. The idaleka dak achrin, and if there was no other road to go, onusu, then it's an oinus. So then the mayor should agree that he's potter, because we said before, the mayor potter is in a case of full-fledged oinus. Ela mashkachas la, no, rather the case would be the atkil vakila begamla. The person himself tripped first. The person himself, he was walking ahead of the donkey on a dry road. We're not talking anymore sarata denana. We're talking about that he was walking in front of the camel. He tripped, and then the camel tripped over him, and then the camel died. So now Rameo is going to say nitkal pesheya. So therefore, the whole thing, the whole chain of events, started out with a pshia of his. Again, like we said before, maybe not a full-fledged pshia, but at least you can't call it onus, according to the mayor. So therefore, that's enough to be machayev then. And according to the chachamim, so therefore, whether the camel injured somebody as it was falling, or whether afterwards we didn't clean up the carcass, either way, Rav Meir is going to be mechayev him. Rav Yehuda, meanwhile, is going to say chachamim in the Braisa, which is Rav Yehuda, is going to say, meanwhile, that nitka lav pesheya. So therefore, so you can't You can't be mechayev him for what happened as a result of his tripping, because that to begin with was an onus nitkalav kusheya, and therefore the fact that the animal tripped over him and fell and died, you can't be mechayev him for what happens as the animal is falling. Later on, you're going to have the question whether he was mafkirit or not. Okay.
The word nitkal means
similar. The word nitkal means tripped. Yeah.
So it doesn't say if it's pesheya or not. If it's mistaken, he means.
So nitkal pesheya, who means, in other words, that there was a certain degree of carelessness involved.
Pesheya, who I understand, but right. The word nitkal itself.
The word nitkal itself means tripped. Okay.
It doesn't mean either way.
Okay. Fine. So then that explains how in the Braisa, how we can make it work according to both of them. And the Gemara says, what about Mafkir Nechos of Mayim Skaven Ikka? So when we say, now Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah had used the expression that Miskaven, he's Chayev, Ein Miskaven, he's Potter. So now we've established, according to Abaya, again, Miskaven means that to begin with, he intended to break it, or he did something which is tantamount to intending to do it. Like we just said, for example, there could be walking in a way where there's a high likelihood that he's going to trip, and then he or his camel or whatever trip. But so then Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayev him. But now, so we said that in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about two cases. One where it caused damage as it was falling, or shortly afterwards, as Tosfos said, before he had a chance to clean it up. And the other one is that the other one where it caused damage later on, where he didn't clean it up, and so he had time to clean it up, and he didn't, and somebody came and tripped over it. So, when we talk about that he's mafkir the pieces and he's saying, you know what, I'm not going to bother cleaning it up, what is the miskaven? What exactly do we mean by miskaven by that, given that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if you're mafkir, Rabbi Yehuda holds, we just said before, that if you're mafkir your burr when you had a certain right to create that burr in the first place, then you're in fact not chayev. Rabbi Yehuda had said, only hifkir reshusay v'loy hifkir burr. If you dug a burr in your reshus, and then you said, you know what, this reshus, I'm leaving for the bnei reshus rabim, but I'm keeping the burr for myself, that's when Rabbi Yehuda would be machayev him. So then in that case, then applying that to this case, he has the right to that extent for his broken pieces of earthenware to be on the ground because he fell in the first place, and nikalav hosheya. If he was mafkir, the nizokim, then what is the miskaven that Rabbi Yehuda would say? When he's miskaven, then he's chayv. If he's mafkir, the nizokim, then Rabbi Yehuda is pondering him. So the answer is Amar Rabbi Yosef miskaven lazakat lizkos b'charaseha. The case is where he intends to reacquire the charosim. He doesn't. In other words, miskaven means that he doesn't plan to be mafkir, that he's not mafkir them to begin with. He dropped the jug; it broke. Now there are broken pieces of earthenware all over the place. And like you said a minute ago, a person can use such things. So he decides, you know what? I'm going to keep them. I'm not mafkir them after all. Well, if he's not mafkir them, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mafkir. Then Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mechayev him, because that's according to him the classic case of burr, where you're not mafkir your burr and you're still chayev. So v'chein amar Rav Ashi, v'miskaven l'zakas b'charaseh, Rav Ashi gave the same answer. So that would be because he intends to keep the charosim, so he wasn't mafkir them in the first place. That's why Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayev him for any injury that's caused by them afterwards. If he had been mafkir them, then given that he had a certain right to have them in Rosh Hashanah in the first place because he tripped and nitkalav kusheya, then Rabbi Yehuda would tak a pater him if somebody else trips over them. It would be, of course, the right thing to do would be for him to clean him up, but Rabbi Yehuda is not going to be mechayev him if he doesn't. On the other hand, Rabbi Lozer only b'shas nefila machloitz. On the other hand, Rabbi Lozer says that no. So all this. So what do we have so far? We started with Rabba's understanding of the machloitz that they're only arguing in one case, and the case is where he didn't intend to, where he just tripped, and then where he just tripped and dropped the jug, and the machloitz is nitkal pesheya or nitkal lav pesheya. Then we said that doesn't really work. That doesn't really work on the basis of a braisa, on the basis of a braisa of nishbara kadoi. Because then you're telling me the mayor would be mechayev him no matter what, even if he didn't, not even not nitkal pasheya. Rabba's distinction was: is he intending to move the jug to shift it from one position to another? And was saying the mayor would be mechayev him even if he didn't intend to shift it, even if it just melted away on his shoulder. We said that doesn't work because we said the mayor is mechayev is part doing in a case of complete oinus. So then we had a Abaye's explanation that we just went through that says that they're arguing in two cases. They're arguing what happens b'shas nefila, and they're arguing about what happens la'acha nefila. So then we said, so b'shas nefila, the macholikas is nitkal p'sheya, nitkal la p'sheya, and la'acha nefila, the macholikas is what happens if he's mafkir it. Rabbi Yehuda is going to patter him. Rabbi Meir says it doesn't matter. Even if you mafkir it, you're still chayav. In connection with the whole sugya over here, the Marshal brings a couple of things from what he calls from Tosfos Aruchim, from a longer version of Tosfos that give more dimensions on what the Gemara is saying over here. So when we have, we talked about before the Chachamim and Reb Meir about Avnei Sakini Masoi, that if they fell off Beruach Metzuyah their Chayev, that would be the Chachamim would have to be saying that only when they were causing damage B'shas Nefila and where he wasn't masking them, because a person is probably not going to be masking his Sakini Masoi. After all, if they only injured afterwards when he was masking them, then we said that so Marshal learns actually over here based on these Tosfos Aruchim. All this time we've been saying that if he's masking his nechos is nezokim after he tripped with nikalav kosheya, then he's potter. The Marshal learns over here brings from this Tosfos Aruchim that no, actually even if he dropped it b'pshia, nevertheless if he was masking it, then Rabbi Yehuda would still hold his potter, because again Rabbi Yehuda holds to be chayav for a bird has to be that you own it. Like he said, hifkir reshusay v'lo hifkir birdai, where you own the reshus, you don't own the reshus around it anymore, but you still own the bird itself. Because he was mafker the area around it, but he kept the bird itself. So, but if he's mafker the bird, Rabbi Yehuda holds his potter. Well, by the same token, if he's mafker the pieces, it doesn't matter. All this time, we've been saying that it's only when he tripped, and because nitka lav pesheya. But now, based on what Marshal is saying, it comes out that actually, even if he had dropped it, even if he had deliberately dropped it, or even in the case of Avnei Sakini Masoi, where they fell off the Ruach Metzuyah, which we're saying is pshia, if he was mafker them, now it's not usual to be mafker Sakini Masoi, but if he did, then nevertheless, he'd still be potter, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're never chayav for a bird unless you actually own it. And meanwhile, with the kankanim over there, we had the case over there of the kankanim that were up on top of the roof. So then we're talking about he was mafkir them, and Rabbi Meir would say if he wasn't mafkir them, then actually he would be chayav, because he still should have removed it. We still should have expected him to remove it, and the fact that he didn't, we can be mechayav him for that. That's how Marshal learns, and then Marshal has a bigger arichos on it, discussing various ins and outs of that, and disagreeing with certain details of that. Are we in fact always pattering him? Are we in fact always pattering him when we say that when it fell off beruach she'ena metzuya? Depending, are we always going to patter him in that case? Are we always going to be mechayev him according to the mayor? Are we always going to patter him according to the Yehuda, etc.? So they get into a long arichos about various ins and outs of that. Okay. Anyway, so now Rabbi Loza says, I have a different answer to explain the machloikas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The shas nefila machloikas, the machloikas is only if the damage was caused as the thing was falling. They're not arguing about what happens afterwards. So they want to ask, Avala achan nefila my dira hakopalter. So according to Rabbi Loza's way of looking at it, are you telling me that if after it fell, somebody tripped over it, then everybody would agree he's palter? For ikur a meir de machayev. The mayor in the Mishnah says that he's chayev. We said that nishbara kadoy, that where his jug broke, veloy silka, and he didn't remove it, and that implies that he had time to remove it. And then Rameyer is machayev him. And Tosfos says, so what are you talking about over here? If he was mafkir it after it fell with Pshia, then Rameyer is machayev him. And if he wasn't mafkir it, then how can the chacham patur him? It's his responsibility. It belongs to him. So he has a chiyuv to remove it. So what do you mean? Divrei hakochayev or ikra banan de patri? Elamai. So what does Rabbi Elazar mean? B'shas nefila. What he means is af b'shas nefila. He means that they're arguing even when it's falling. Now the reason he has to say that Rashi says is because after all the Braisa doesn't clearly specify that. The Braisa just said nishbra kadev leisoka nafleg malav leihamida. It's not clear from the wording of the Braisa that it means that it caused damage as it's falling. You could understand when you first learned the Braisa, it sounded like the pashtus. It means that he didn't remove it, and then later on somebody came and tripped over it. So now Rabbi Elazar wants to tell us that even if it's causing damage b'shas nefila, then you still have the same machloikas. In which case, Rabbi Elazar is telling us that he agrees with Abaya's answer, that they're arguing about the two cases, about the Shas Nefila and La'acha Nefila. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Omer La'acha Nefila Machloikas. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Machloikas is only after it fell. So they're not arguing about what happens when he drops it. They're arguing only what happens when he didn't clean up the pieces afterwards. So the Gemara asks, "Avo b'shas nefila my divehakol potter." So what are you telling me, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if it caused damage when it's falling, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that everybody would agree he's potter. Why? V'hamid ka'amar Rabbi Yochanan l'kamon. Later on in the perek, in connection with a later Mishnah in our perek, we have a case later on in Daf Lamed Aleph. We have where two potters are walking one after another in Rosh Hashanah Abim, and one of them trips and then the other one falls, and then one of them trips and then the second one trips over him. So the Mishnah says over there, the first one is chayev for the nezek to the second one because he himself effectively created a burr. And Rabbi Yochanan says over there,
obviously a mistake.
The whole thing was a mistake. So Rabbi Yochanan points out over there that even the chachamim who say that Nikolas lav kosheya, he could have stood up, but he didn't. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that's reason enough to be mechayev. And we'll talk about on Daf Lamed Aleph details about that. Did he have time to stand up? Could he have warned the other guy, etc.? We'll get to that later on. The point is, though, that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Rino of Amid Ka'amar Rabbi Yochanan l'kamon. Rabbi Yochanan says later on, Loi tema masnisin a mayor he dama nitka pesheahu. Don't think the Mishnah is only according to the mayor. That Mishnah about the two potters is only according to the mayor that says nitka peshea. No, he says you can make it work even according to the chachamim because he should have stood up. Miklal did a mayor mechayev. So the implication is that a mayor is mechayev even at the time, because if we say Rabbi Meir says nitkal poshea, then you chayev for everything that happens at the time of the takala, at the time when he trips, including that the jug injured somebody while it was falling. So how can Rabbi Meir say that everybody agrees? Rabbi Yochanan seems to be implying, he says the machlokas is only la'acha nefila, implying that at the time of nefila everybody would pater him. But why? If Rabbi Meir holds nitkal poshea and Rabbi Yochanan clearly says that he agrees that Rabbi Meir holds nitkal poshea, well then you should be mechayev him for what happens when it's falling as well. So the Gemara says El Mai Divrei HaKochayev. Okay, so maybe the other way around. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan means everybody would agree if it caused damage while it's falling, then he's chayev. And the machlokas would be what happens afterwards. Is he chayev if somebody trips over the broken pieces? The problem with that is Vahamid Ka'amar Rabbi Yochanan L'kamon. Again, based on that same statement of Rabbi Yochanan further, Loi Tema Masnisin Rameyu Hidamu Nitka Pesheahu. He says, don't think the Mishnah is according to the mayor who says nitka poshea miklal the patri rabbanon, implying that according to him the chachamim say that nitkal is not poshea. Well then, if the jug caused injury as it was falling, then you can't be mechayev him because it was onus. So one way or the other, how do we have Rabbi Yochanan implying that there's no machlokas b'shas nefila? Either way, if you say that everybody agrees it's potter, then that doesn't work with his understanding of a mayor. And if you say that everybody says it's chayev, then it doesn't work with his understanding of the chachamim. So Ella, Hok Mashmalon, rather what it must be, what Rabbi Yochanan means, he does agree that they're arguing in both cases. When he says La'acha Nefila Machloikas, he doesn't mean that they're only arguing La'acha Nefila. He holds they're arguing B'shas Nefila as well. But Ella, Hok Mashmalon, what Rabbi Yochanan wants to inform us the Matun Chos, the Zokov, the Hochel, the Patri Rabbanon, the Onusu. You know why the Chachamim are patterning him over here? Because to begin with, there was an onus by falling. Avon Mafkin is Zokov the Alma, but in a more general case where he was going to be Mafkir, his Nizokim that came that in general. So let's say, for example, he threw something out Midas, then Mechaibi, then the Chachamim would make him Chayev, then the Chachamim would make him Chayev, even though he was Mafkir. So in other words, then, so when Rabbi Yochanan says, La'achon, Nefila Machloikas, means they're arguing in a case. What is the case where the mayor and the Chachamim argue where there was a fall to begin with? We're fine. We have the argument, Nitkal Peshaya, who or not. The result of that is, what do we say afterwards if he, what do we say afterwards if he was Mafkir than Nizokim? Or are we going to be Mechayev him for it? Rav Meir says yes, because he says it doesn't matter that you were Mafkir it. The fact is, the original falling of it was B'Pshia. And therefore, we can be Mechayev you, not only for what happens at the time, but even afterwards, if you were Mafkir it, still, it's considered as though you put it out there deliberately, because your Nitka was Pesheya in the first place, and therefore, it's considered as though you put them there deliberately, and you have a responsibility to clean them up, and if not, then you Chayev. Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim, that is to say, would say that, look, since to begin with, the thing was an onus, Nitka Pesheya, therefore, if he's mafkir it, you can't be mechayev him. But if he put it there deliberately in the first place, even the chachamim would agree that he's chayev. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan means when he says b'shas. That's what he says. La'achar nefila machlokas. The machlokas would be only about what happens la'achar nefila if he was mafkir it, where it was after nefila specifically. Because Nefila, in other words, the point is, the stress in Rabbi Yochanan's point is not on the word La'achar versus Lifnei, the stress is on the word Nefila. The once you had a Nefila, once he fell, do we consider that falling an oinus or not? Rabbi Meir holds no, Rabbi Yehuda holds yes. Because of that, therefore, if he was mafkir them afterwards, what happened? Rabbi Meir says, doesn't matter that you were mafkir, you're still chayev. And Rabbi Yehuda would hold, look, since to begin with, the falling was an oinus, and now you're mafkir it, then therefore we have grounds to pater you because you didn't put it there. You didn't put it there deliberately in the first place. As opposed to if you put it there deliberately in the first place, then even though you were mafkir it, Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayev. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's how we understand the machlokas. So again, he would say if it caused damage as it was falling, yeah, then that's subject to the machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim. But he's not really focusing on that. He's focusing more on what happens after it fell. If you were mafkir it, we have to look at Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the circumstances under which it fell in the first place? Was it something that would be considered an onus, or was it something that not? So in a case of nitkal, then Rav Meir and the Chachamim are disagreeing, whether that's called onus. Say, for example, in other words, it would seem based on that Rabbi Yochanan would say, let's say we had the case before of the kankanim, of the jugs that you put on top of the roof to dry out, where they fell off the ruach metzuya, where even Rav Meir, we said before, agrees that that's an onus. If it was a complete onus, so then Rav Meir would be patering you, it sounds like, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if afterwards you didn't clean up the pieces, because because to begin with it was an onus that they came there in the first place, and you're being mafkir them. If he's not mafkir them, then he's chayev regardless, because they're his. But if he's mafkir them, then it'll depend whether they fell ba'onus or whether they fell in something that's not an onus. That's the point that Rabbi Yochanan is making. Okay, so now a discussion on that point. Itmar, mafkir nezokov, when a person is mafkir something that's in Rosh Hashanah, that belongs to him, and he's mafkir it. So now we're talking about a different case. Now we're talking about over there where he put it there deliberately, or b'pshia at least, where there was something careless of him in the first place that it got there. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar argue on that. Chad am a chayev, v'chad am a potter. One says he will be chayev to pay for it, and the other one says he's potter. Because the one who says he's chayev is going to say he's chayev, because after all, he put it there in the first place. And again, even if a bird doesn't belong to a person, he's chayev for it. So therefore, we can be chayev him for this. Whereas the other opinion holds he's potter, because only when the bird is his mom. And here the bird is not his mom anymore, because he was mafkir it. So The Gemara asks, "Le mamanda mechayev kara meyer umanda potter kara banan." It sounds like this is the exact machloekas of a meyer and the chachamim. And the Gemara says, "No, aliba did a meyer kula amalei pligi." Within Reb Meir's opinion, there's no machloekas because Reb Meir, sure, he holds that mafku nizakov yuchayev. So, in fact, than what we said before. So Rashi makes the point over here, Davka, that Reb Meir is machayev, even when he's mafkin is zakav, that came about in, to begin with through onus, for example, by a real onus, like it falling off his roof. Reb Meir is going to patter him fine if it damages as it's falling, because it's an onus, but he's still going to make him responsible to clean it up afterwards and be machayev him or not. How much more so if he put it there with Priya? So not like I was saying a minute ago, then it comes out, according to Rashi, what I was saying is wrong. No, Reb Meir is going to be machayev him either way, even if he was mafkin it, even if it came there, bonus. So la'achon nefila machlokas, meaning it would be said after he fell and he didn't clean it up, then there would be the machlokas. Anyway, the point is that so within Reb Meir's opinion, we're saying that no, everybody would agree that he's chayim. Ki pligi aliba de rabbanan machlokas Reb Yochanan and Reb Elazar is strictly within the opinion of the chacham. And Tosfos points out the Gemara knows that they're discussing over here a case where he put it there but pshia and then he was mafkir. Therefore, we can't say that we're talking about where it came there to begin with by an onus, because we know to begin with that the scenario is that it came there but pshia. So within the Chachamim's opinion, then they're arguing. Man de pater k'rabbanan, between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar, the one who paters says strictly it's like the Rabbanan, and that's that. Or man de mechayev, the one who says it's chayev, Amalach, he would tell you, no, there's a difference. I'm not the Amri, I feel the Rabbanan. What I'm saying is, even according to the Rabbanan, even though they're patering in some cases, ad kam like pater Rabbanan, ele b'mafka nizakav, the Hocha, you know, when the Chama patering him, when he's mafkir and his nizakim, in the case of our Mishnah, where there was an onus in the first place because he tripped, and the Chacham hold nitka lav poshei, it's considered an onus, then you can patter him for leaving the pieces there and not cleaning them up. Ava mafkir nizakim da alma, but when it's a different case where he put them there deliberately and then was mafkir them, mechayvi, then this opinion would say that the Chachamim would agree he's chayv. Okay. So between Rabbi Yochanan and we said Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, one of them holds this way, one of them holds that way. Which one holds which? So the Gemara says, Kistayim, we should be able to conclude that Rabbi Elazar who da'am chayev, that Rabbi Elazar would be the one who says that he's chayev, da'am Rabbi Elazar, mishum Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Elazar says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that, and again, we discussed before the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whether in the case of a burr, it has to be that the burr belongs to you, or would you be chayev even if the burr doesn't belong to you? So Rabbi Shmuel says, Shnei dvarim enin b'rishus shel adam. There are two things that are not considered in a person's rishus. Vasana kosev kilein b'rishus, yet the posik considers it as though they're in his rishus and he's chayev for them. And the cases are ve'elohein bur b'rishus rabim. The first one is a bur in rishus rabim. So even though he doesn't own the bur because it's in rishus rabim and he doesn't have any particular rishus over there, nevertheless the Torah is making him chayev for digging this bur and not covering it. And the second one is chometz on Erev Pesach from 6 hours in the day and on. So if he didn't, so it's not in his rishus because it's also bahana. Nevertheless, he's over on bal yirah bal yimatzah.
If you drop them
for owning chometz, you chayev bal yirah bal yimatzah for owning chometz on Pesach. If you own it and you didn't destroy it or sell it to a goy or what have you, then you chayev, you're over on those two mitzvahs. So now Rabbi Elazar is saying, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that even though you don't actually own that chometz in the sense that it's also bahana, the Torah tells you that you can't do anything with it, so how can it be considered yours? Nevertheless, it's yours to the extent that you're on bal yirah bal yimatzah. Same thing as the bur. Rashi and Tosfos, by the way, discuss in Psachim, are we talking, when we say mishesh shos salamayla, do we mean after the end of the sixth hour, which is when it's also daraisa, or do we mean even during the sixth hour when it's also bahana, only dirabban? Anyway, The point being, in other words, that so Rabbi Elazar was clearly saying that yes, even if the bird doesn't belong to him in the first place, then he's still chayev for digging it. So by the same token, Rabbi Elazar, on the face of it, is going to say that it doesn't matter whether mafkin is zakav, even if he was, so the same way, him being mafkin, his nezakim, doesn't exempt him because he had no right to put them there in the first place. So then in that case, he'd be the one who says that mafkin is zakav is chayev. So then Rabbi Yochanan would have to be the one who says it's potter. So the Gemara says Tistayim. Okay, that is a solid proof. Although the Gemara is going to end up saying later on that it's not so. Usually, when the Gemara says Tistayim, it usually means that's that. But here we have a rare example where it's not like that. Anyway, continues the Gemara though. Umi Omer Rabbi Elazar Hachi. Did Rabbi Elazar really say that? That if a person is mafkir something in Rosh Hasharabim, then you can be machai of him, even though he was mafkir it. But we find Rabbi Elazar says something the other way around. The Tanan, we learn in the next Mishnah, ha-hoifech ha-sagolol, on Lamed Amar Aleph, the Mishnah says, ha-hoifech ha-sagolol, if a person is turning, or two Mishnayos later, whatever, on the bottom of Lamed Amar Aleph, a person is turning over a piece of dung, a piece of animal waste, in Rosh Hasharabim, so you have not just one piece, but whatever, there's a whole bunch of it over there, and he moves it over there and intends to bring it someplace else. He wants to use it as fertilizer for his fields or whatever. And somebody else slips on it and gets injured or whatever, chayev benizko, then he's chayev for the nezek of that other person, because the point is the bird was there already, but he was making a kinyan on it by moving it. So therefore, now he's chayev. So the Amar Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar says on that, Lo shonu elishin iskaven lizkus behem. That's only when he actually intended to be zoicha in them by moving them.
Well, he says
but he hasn't yet moved it. He hasn't used it. He's moving it from one place to another in Rosh Hasharabim. Is he actually intending to be zoicha in it? Maybe, maybe not. Avo lo iskaven lizkus behem. But if he's not yet meaning to be zoicha in them, potter, then Rabbi Elazar would say that he's potter because it's not his thing. Why is he touching it? Because he's thinking later on, maybe, but right now he's not planning to be zoicha in it yet. Whatever. So Alma mafkir nezakim potter. So we see from that if he's mafkir nezakim, so even though in this case he didn't move them, so you could argue by moving in effect by moving them he created a bor b'shusarabim because he moved it from one place to another and somebody else tripped over there. Had he left it in the original place, the other person wouldn't have tripped over it. So we see that the Rabbi Elazar says there's a case where you can dig a bor b'shusarabim in your potter and mafkir nezakim would be the same thing What's the case? Why would we be mechayev bor b'shusharabim? You never owned it in the first place. Well, Rabbi Elazar is saying the same thing over you. You never owned this golol in the first place. You haven't yet intended to be acquiring it. Therefore, you can be potter for moving it to someplace else. So we see that Rabbi Elazar holds that if you're mafkin, that mafkin nezakav could be potter. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Abba Abba Sheikh Zira L'mkoyim. Rabbi Abba Abba answers, what you're talking about is he moved it from one place to another, but then he moved it back to the original place. So then in that case, if somebody trips over it over there, the other person can't say, look, it's your fault that it's here. He can say, I didn't put it here in the first place. I moved it someplace else. Yes, and if it happened to pass by then you wouldn't have tripped. But the fact is that right now it's back where I put it originally. I undid what I did before. Therefore, you can't be mechayev me. So that's not a contradiction to what Rabbi Elazar was saying before, where he put it there to begin with. And Amar Avina, Moshal of Rav Adaba Ava, Lamar Dabba Dama, what can we compare, according to Rav Adaba Ava, what can we compare the situation to? Lamoitze Bur Megula V'chisahu, if somebody finds an uncovered bur and he covers it, V'chaza V'gilahu, and then he went uncovered it, so then he's potter because afterwards things are back the way it was before. In other words, he wasn't Zoycha, by covering the bur, he's not Zoycha in it.
But by picking it up, he's kind of the bur.
How did he pick up the burr?
He took the cover.
No, that's not a way to be coning. Maybe he's coning the cover, but he's not coning the burr. But anyway, the point is, therefore, so why? Because in other words, anybody who falls in there, he can tell them, look, this burr was there all along. I didn't do anything. I didn't change anything. Yeah. So that would be the explanation. But Amalei Mazut Rabbeid Ramari Laravina Mi Dami. How can you compare those two cases? Hosamalei Stalik Luhu Maiser Rishin. When you cover the burr, you haven't removed what the first one did. The burr is still there. It's just now covered. Hocha, but when you're moving the glolim in Rosh Hashanah Avim, it's stalak lehu ma'aserishin. The fact is, at the time you moved it, then what the first person did is completely removed because now they're someplace else. When you put them over there, it's considered like you made a whole new thing. Holoi dummy, ela lemoitze bar megula v'tomema. Rather, if you want to compare it to a case where a person finds an uncovered burr and he fills it in. He fills it in with dirt v'chaza v'chofra, and then he redigs a new burr where the old one was. Now there's no question. The first one's maise is gone, and it's in his reshus. If now an animal falls into that new burr, the second one sure is for sure going to be chayim. So why in the case of the golo would Rabbi Elazar be saying he's potter? So Ella Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says you're right. That answer of Rav Adar Bar Ava is not going to work. Rather, Rav Ashi says k'shahofchal pachas mishloisha. Rather, we're talking about over here where he was rolling it along the ground. It's all within three tefachim. So therefore, he wasn't actually koine. He's picking it up. He's rolling it or whatever. But it's all within three tefachim of the ground. If he had picked it up three tefachim, then he would be zeichen. The Rashba actually, the Rashba actually points out, Hagoyes Ashri point out that actually if he moved it three tefachim away from where it was, that also could be considered a kinyan. But here he didn't do either. He didn't pick it up three tefachim, and he didn't Tosfos points out over here, by the way, that usually. The fact is, we have a case called Habotar Behefker Koni. If you look at something of Hefker, then sometimes you could say you're koine it just by observing it and saying, I plan to take this. But over here, Tosfa says that wouldn't necessarily that wouldn't necessarily apply over here.
When you have two people going on top of a gumball on one guy. That would see his mind. That doesn't mean anything.
So Tosfa says, right, that usually you need lifting up three tefachim. Yeah. So actually what it is over here, habot behefker koni, and therefore you could say he's koine even if he picks it up with less than three tefachim, but not necessarily. Anyway, the point is, sort of Ashi is saying that when he was moving at less than three tefachim, therefore, Loinus Scaven Lizkos by, he wasn't intending to be Zeuchen, and he didn't pick it up three tefachim, so therefore he's just moving it from its place, so therefore it still has its original chazaka. When can you be Mechayev him? Only when he intended to be Koine. Well, the Gemara says, my Duchke, the Rabbi Elazar, well, in that case, what forces Rabbi Elazar to say that the case is where he picked it up less than three tefachim, and say that that's the case the Mishnah is talking about? But time dekina skaven lizkosba, and say that only because he intended to acquire it with that, therefore you can be mechayev lizkosba ha'in meskaven lizkosba loy, and that if he doesn't have kavana to be zoichen, then the Mishnah would actually patter him. What forces Rabbi Elazar to say that? After all, the Mishnah just says ha'hoifach zagolol, and somebody else got injured by it. Chayev benizkoy. Wouldn't it be more straightforward? Loikma l'mayla mishloisha. Let Rabbi Elazar say that it's talking about he picked it up even above three tefachim. And he was the afgabdolin iskavin liskos b'chayev, and it wouldn't matter, even though he did not intend to be zeichen, it'd be chayev because he removed it from its original place. So what are we saying? Rabbi Elazar is saying, oh, why are we patterning him? Because even though he moved it, he wasn't intending to be only when he intended to be zeichen it, then we can be mechayev him, even though he didn't move it from its original place. But why do we have to do that? Why isn't it more straightforward to say that even if he did not intend to be zeichen with it, doesn't matter how much he picked it up. Nevertheless, we're still mechayev. So Amar Rav Masnissin Kshisei. The reason is because Rabbi Elazar found the wording of the Mishnah difficult in that case. My iria hofach. Why does the Mishnah use the expression that he turned it over? Listen, hikbia. The Mishnah should have instead used the word that he picked it up. The word hofach, he turned it over, implies that he didn't pick it up three tefachim. So then Rabbi Elazar is saying, so therefore the Mishnah of necessity is talking about where it's within three tefachim. So therefore we have to distinguish now whether he intended to be zoichen. And if he intended to be zoichen, then sure, it's his and he's chayiv for it in zakim. But if he picked it up, but because the expression is hofach, which itself implies less than three tefachim, then therefore if he didn't intend to be zoichen, then the Rabbi Elazar was going to say that taka he's potter because The fact is, it's not his. And the fact is, he didn't really undo what the first one did because he didn't pick it up and he didn't move it enough to make a difference.
But why did he touch it for?
Why did he touch it? Because whatever the case he touched it for, we don't really care. But the point is, since he wasn't intending to be zeicha in it and he moved it less than three tefachim, then therefore Rabbi Elazar has reason to factor him. May as well continue. So what have we gotten to, therefore? So we said before that in Machloikas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, about the case of Mafgir Nezakov, we were saying Tistayim, we wanted to conclude that Rabbi Elazar says he's Chayev, we're Mafgir Nezakov. So as long as it belongs to him at one point, then he's Mafgir it, then he's Chayev. Only in this case of the Golol, where he never owned it in the first place, then Rabbi Elazar would say that he's Potter. So let's continue. Umid Rabbi Elazar Amar Chayev, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Potter. Necessarily, therefore, Rabbi Yochanan must be the one who says he's Potter because you had a machlokas between them. The question is, Umiyomer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? V'hatnan, we learn in the next Mishnah, Hamatznias a koitz ves a schuchis. If a person buries a thorn, a sharp thorn, or a sharp splinter of wood, or a piece of glass in Rosh Hashanabim, v'agoydu gidre v'koitzim, or if a person makes a fence around his chotzer with thorn bushes, where the usual thing is to use stones, and instead he used thorn bushes, or the geder shenafel Rosh Hashanabim, or if he has a stone fence that fell down in Rosh Hashanabim, and somebody else got injured by it, chayev b'nizka, then he's chayev for the nizakin of it. Now Rabbi Yochanan says, this is only talking about where the edges of the thorns to begin with were sticking out into Rosh Hashanabim. But if he made sure that the ends of the thorns don't go past his property line, potter, then we would say he's potter when, in the case, in other words, we're talking about the case where he made the fence out of thorns. So Rabbi Yochanan was saying, if he made sure the thorns don't project beyond his property, then he's potter. So the question is, Mitzamtzim, my time of potter, why is he potter in the case of Mitzamtzim? Lav mishum dehavi le bur b'rishusai. On the face of it, the reason is because the bur that's in his rishus, because his chotzer is his rishus. Miklal dechiyuv de bur b'rishusai rabim hu, implying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan is going to be mechayev him for a bur b'rishusai rabim, for any bur b'rishusai rabim, even if it's not his, alma mafkir nezakov chayev. So you see that if a person is mafkir his nezakim, then he's chayev. Because Rabbi Yochanan is saying, only because he made sure that the thorns don't project beyond his property line, therefore he's potter. But if not, then he would have been chayev. Because now it's not a burger shusa, implying anytime you make a burger shusa rabim, whether you own it or not, then you chayev. So that means mafkir nezakov, you'd be chayev. So the Gemara says, no, lo imloch mafkir nezakov potter. You know, you could say Rabbi Yochanan says that he's potter, which would fit with our understanding of the machlokas between him and Rabbi Elazar before. Mitzamtzim, my time of potter, you know what? Mitzamtzim, my time of potter, you know why he's potter? When he's mitzamtzim, not so much because it's in his property. Mishum de itman Allah, because you should know there was explained on that. Omer of acha breder vika lofishen darkan for shabbin adam leischakat b'ksalim, because people don't usually rub against the walls. People don't usually walk so close as it is to walls that are next to Rosh Hashanabim. So therefore, if a person walks that close where the thorns injure him, then it's his problem, and the owner of the fence is not chayim for that. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan can say, if he makes sure that the thorns stay within his rishus, if somebody chooses to walk right by the edge of Rosh Hashanabim and gets snagged on it, that's his problem.
Yeah, so people learn leaning against the fence to fix the load.
Leaning against the fence is something else. Here we're talking about somebody walking by.
If he leans
against the fence, he'll notice that it's a stone fence, and he'll realize this is a thorn fence, and he'll realize this is not a place for me to adjust my load. Let me go to the next fence.
Yeah.
Okay. So that din is not a contradiction on what we said that Rabbi Yochanan would say that he's pot, that we're assuming Rabbi Yochanan would say that he's potter for a bird in Rosh Hashanah if he was mafkir nezakim. But the Gemara asks still, we have another problem. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that mafkir nezakim is potter? He says the halacha is like a stam mishnah. Utnan, and we have a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. Hachoyf a berber shosarabim v'nafal l'secha sherech hamaru meschayim. Person digs a berber shosarabim, and an ox or a donkey falls into it and dies, then he's chayim. So meaning, in other words, we're not talking about, like we said before, that the case is he dug the burr in his reshus, and then he was mafkir the reshus and not mafkir the burr. No, the Mishnah says flat out, he dug in the reshus harabim, then he's chayim, even though the burr never belonged to him. and Rabbi Yochanan holds halacha kastam mishnah. Therefore, he has to hold that any bor you chayev for, even if you never owned the bor in the first place. Applying that to mafkir nezakav, that would mean that mafkir nezakav is chayev, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Ela la'olam Rabbi Yochanan om chayev. And as a matter of fact, we're going to have to say that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that he's chayev. And umid Rabbi Yochanan om chayev, Rabbi Lazar om potter. In which case, that would imply that Rabbi Lazar is the one who says that he's potter. Now, the problem is, we said, Rabbi Lazar mishum Rabbi Shmuel chola. Didn't we say that he quoted in the name of Rabbi Shmuel about that a bor is not in the person's rishus, and yet the Torah considers it as if he is in his rishus, which we said before means that Rabbi Lazar hold chometz of Pesach, chometz on sheish shoes lamayla, and a bor rishus rabim. And the implication is that we're saying that you chayev for the bor, even though you never owned it in the first place, which was what led us to say that Rabbi Lazar is the one who says that that you chayev for a bor even if you never owned it in the first place. And the answer is loy kasha hodigay hodirabe. There's a difference. Before, Rabbi Lazar was quoting in the name of Rabbi Shmuel to explain Rabbi Shmuel's shita. He himself disagrees with that shita, and he holds you can be chayev for a bor only if you own it in the first place. So therefore, he would say mafka nezakav, then you're potter because you don't own it anymore. So after all, we don't have to say, like we said before, for example, about the hoifach hasagolo. We don't have to say that we're talking about that it was within three tefachim and all of that. We can say Rabbi Lazar would say that that in all cases, no matter even if he picked it up less than three tefachim or rolled it or whatever, we're still going to be machayev him because he would say that mafkir nezakav is still chayev. He would say mafkir nezakav is potter. So the only way to be mechayev him would actually be if he actually intended to be zoichen, if he moved it without intention to be zoichen. If he picked it up three tefachim, then he's koine it right there. But if he picked it up within three tefachim, then we would say he wasn't koine it in the first place, and therefore we would say he's potter because Rabbi Lazar holds mafkir nezakav is potter in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yochanan, meanwhile, would hold his chayev, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan would say there's no distinction in that. Either way, he's chayev for moving it. And Tosfos adds, Rabbi Yochanan would still say, "Ain dakan shomer adam leschakat puksalim," because Rabbi Yochanan wants to say that the din about the thorn fence is going to apply according to both opinions. But Rabbi Yochanan himself would actually hold that maybe even, again, since he says that he's chayev, even if mafkin or zakav, that would mean Rabbi Yochanan would hold that even if you dug a bur in your own rishus, and then you were mafkin the rishus and not mafkin the bur, you would in fact be chayev. Rabbi Yochanan actually says that you have that opinion later on in the Masechta, which we've touched on a couple of times. So Tosfos says Rabbi Yochanan would agree with that opinion and be mechayev him even in that case. So in the case of the thorn fence, yes, Rabbi Yochanan, it comes out, would be mechayev him even if it is completely on his property because it's too close to Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Yochanan would pater him only because in Dakon Shemad Adam Leschakat Puksalim, only because people don't normally rub against walls. Were it not for that consideration, Rabbi Yochanan would have been mechayev him. Okay, everyone.